this type of administration is also biblical, where a church leader seizes authority, just like a military dictator. Just like a military dictator, he says something and rules it. Nobody else has anything to say as a contribution to what he has said. Does this fit the biblical leadership? How do you see this, Pastor Rafael?
I think that this is it is not biblically because it is anti-biblical, because most of the people they anoint themselves, but they do not want to be anointed by the Holy Spirit and by God, so that they will give the authority of leading the church.
Yeah. Yes. So we must get a balance. The balance is when the man of God, the leader, the general overseer, the administrator, gets a message, the people will work on the details. Yes. The committee, the board of directors, the personal assistants, they will work on the details. You have to allow them to make their own input into the vision that has been put on the table. Because I want us to look at Acts of Apostles chapter 6. Acts of Apostles chapter 6, from verse 1 to 15, there was a problem in the early church. The problem was there were so many people coming in to become members of the church, and the church was helping the poor and the needy. They were distributing food and clothes and herbs to the people. But there was another problem. Then the Bible talks about the Grecian Jews. Some people were left out, you know, they call them the Grecian Jews. These are probably not the real Jews, but Jews that came in, you know, either by relationship. So they were neglected. It's the same thing as tribalism, the tribal settlements and racial discrimination and of discrimination in various forms. Some people became neglected, the Grecian Jews. Acts of Apostles chapter 6, you see the Grecian Jews were neglected, and it was creating a problem already in the New Testament church, which had just been founded. And now the apostles came together and said, we can't continue like this. We need to appoint some form of assistance, some deacons, some deaconesses, some elders who will help us to carry this vision. And so they appointed deacons and deaconesses to help carry this vision to the grassroots. You find that in Acts of Apostles chapter 6 from verse 1 to 15, and that really worked, because now everybody was participating. They were all holding up the vision of God was being upheld by the leadership and by the apostles and by the deacons and by the deaconesses. Now government and administration is in the hands of everybody. And that brought peace to the church. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. So, Pastor Rafael, Odara, how do you see this Acts of Apostles, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15, the They had everything in common, and they had to share evenly to those in need. How do you see this Acts of Apostles chapter 6, verses 1 to 15? What do you want to say about that?
I think that and in those days,
are you trying to read it? You're trying to read Acts of Apostles? Okay, you can read it. Acts of Apostles, chapter 6, from verse 1 to 5.
And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied,
yes,
there arose a murmuring of the Christians against the enemies, because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration.
Yes.
So, then the 12 called the multitude of the apostles unto them and said, it is not reason that he should receive the word of God and the self temple, that temples.
Yes.
Wherefore, brethren, look out among you, every man of honest God, full of the Holy Spirit, and widow and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I think that when I was reached by the verses 4 and 5, this says that listening to verse 3, I would say, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and the wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business. So there were some people, both the wise men that were being chosen or appointed to do the ministry of God in those days of the earlier church. But we ourselves continually pray and the ministry of the word.
Yes. Church administration today. Let's listen to her and hear what God has put in her to share with her. Mama, you are welcome.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity to be able to minister
concerning church administration today.
Okay. Father, I thank you. I give you glory. I give you honor. Minister through me, O Lord God of heaven. I pray thee in Jesus' name. concerning church administration, which we can even say is church discipline. Church discipline, we talk a great deal about it, but seldom do nothing about it. Paul expected Christians to use the church courts, not government courts. 1 Corinthians 6:1-13. Church administration discipline means taking corrective measure as punishment in order to maintain good conduct of church members. Church members must have good conduct. Before they can have good conduct, there must be established discipline that has been laid down. No more church discipline because church do not want to lose members. They don't want to lose members. That's why they won't correct what should be corrected. Church, they are afraid to discipline because the income will be reduced if they punish sin. And there must be no sin in the church. We love popularity, money, large churches, easy times, more than holiness. Church administration must be holy. We must be able to call sin, sin. We must not condone sin in church administration. All that are administering church administration, they must be full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, and they must be men of prayer. Discipline must be taught immediately after conversion. Setting before candidate Christian standard. Christian standard must be set for church administration to be powerful. You will tell them there must be punishment for disobedience. Obedience must be in the church of God before church, before any administration of the church can be possible. Like, as in Ashiden, when you tell them clean up the mess or I will put you to bed hungry, the child then weighs the facts and acts accordingly. If they know all this church and its responsibility, they will behave themselves and the church will go on well. In Roman Catholic churches, they have all this church authority, penance and excommunication. It's not that we should be driving people out of the church, but we should tell them to be obedient and know what to do. Matthew 18:15-17. If that brother trespass against you, tell him his fault. And if he will not hear, take it with one or more. If he neglects them, take it to the church. And if he neglects the church, just leave him on his own. We must rebuke. Church administration, there must be rebuke. Even Revelation 3:19 says, God says, I rebuke. Because there are some occasions for discipline. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Titus 1:13. If you don't rebuke family, they will not be sound in the faith. Educational system must be in the church of God. No false teacher, no false brethren, no false pastors. 1 Timothy 5:20. Open sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. The fear of God must be in the church of God before any administration can be perfected. Habakkuk 1:13. God is very pure. Thou God art of purer eyes than to behold evil. The eye of God does not behold evil in any church. You must be praying and asking God for making sin so terrible among church brethren.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 5:13, it says, put away from among you that wicked person, some wicked person, some wicked people are in the church. And 1 Timothy 1:20, Emmanuel and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they learn not to blaspheme. Some people blaspheme in the church of God. They must be corrected for the church administration to be perfected.
That is true.
What do we do when the crime or sin committed does not meet merit excommunication? If the guilty repent genuinely, church members must be able to repent genuinely when they know they are guilty. The judgment to all those that are not behaving well in the church, the presiding church council, they always sit on those conditions. Everybody in the church of God must live clean and disciplined lives, above reproach in word and in deed. Humility in the church of God, 1 Corinthians 10:12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We must not lord it over the fallen ones, because we too, we are not better. If temptation and circumstances were similar, perhaps we would have committed an even greater sin. There is no place for superior holier than thou. Matthew 7:3-5. See the mote in your own eyes before you cast out the beam in your brother's eyes. Some say, I'm not perfect. Therefore, I will not discipline my brother or correct him. This is wrong. Anybody that we love is the person we correct.
Yes.
God gives us the responsibility of correcting anyone that does wrong in love and expects us to exercise it instead of keeping silence, because God says we require their blood in our hands. When we want to correct, we correct in love. 1 Corinthians 13:4.
Yes.
They say love suffereth long and is kind. You must certainly deal in love for such administration to be perfected. People respond to our love in the church but resist our words and our arguments. Suffer long is to exercise plenty of patience. Everybody in the church of God must suffer long. They must be able to exercise patience. Their genuine repentance must be in the church of God. And the church of God should be founded on the scripture and must be on the principle laid down by the word of God. The church administration cannot work without the word of God. By testimony, be willing to share personal experience on the subject. This will help us to deal with brother not as a dog under our feet.
Yes.
Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all flock over which the Holy Ghost made you an overseer.
Yes.
This is similar to John chapter 17. When Jesus Christ was saying, all those that you have given me, none is lost. But my love that you have given me is for those you gave me to take care of, that the Father's glory is on the Son. We are told to take heed, therefore, unto ourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost made us an overseer. We must be a good shepherd like Jesus. Conclusion. May God give us courage on our convictions to exercise discipline. And God bless you, us all, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
I tell you, God has blessed us with there must be discipline in the church, there must be correction. In fact, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, he said that the word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction, for that the man of God might be perfect. See? So there is room for discipline, for correction. In fact, in the Old Testament, it was so strong, if you are a high priest and you go into the Holy of Holies and your life is not clear with God, that high priest will just fall and die in the Holy of Holies. And then the rope that was tied on his waist will be used to drag him from the Holy of Holies for him to go and be buried. It was as serious as that. You know, so in the New Testament, it's not different. All right, look at Ananias and Sapphira in Acts of Apostles chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira, they were members of the New Testament church in Jerusalem. Peter was sitting at the head of the church, watching all of them giving offerings. And then Ananias and Sapphira came into the church and lied to the Holy Spirit. The reason is, when you lie to a servant of God, you are lying to God. You are lying to the Holy Spirit. So Ananias and Sapphira, in Acts of Apostles chapter 5, they came into the church and then lied to the Apostle Peter. Said, Peter, you know what? We haven't gotten much. This is the little we got, so we have brought it. Not knowing that they have planned a lie from home, and they have come into the church to lie to the Holy Spirit. Do you know a lot of people are still doing all these things? People who have money, they are thinking rich, their bank accounts are loaded with money, but they come to the church and tell you that they are the widow's mite. So instead of putting what they are supposed to have put, instead of doing what they are supposed to have done, they go around and put pennies and put, nothing to write to me about. They just put stupid things there. You know, the Ananias and Sapphira, the spirit of Ananias and Sapphira, is he really the church today? You know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit called them off and they died, two of them. And they were carried away to be buried. And that made people to fear the church. And more people were added to the church because they saw discipline. The Holy Spirit was already disciplining people inside the church. You can't eat your cake and have it. Oh no, you can't come to the church and mess up, and then you want to, you know, do whatever you like. It is the house of God. It is the territory of the Holy Spirit. They lie to the Holy Spirit. Do you know today everybody is still lying to the Holy Spirit? You know, those who are thinking rich, they have the money, they have the wealth, they have the riches, they come to the church and pretend not to have, you know, if you go to, somebody said, if you want to see $100 beer, go to the beer parlor. A preacher once said that. He said, if you want to see $100 beer, go, if you want to see $100 cash, go to the beer parlor. They bring out those hundreds of dollars and they squander it, you know, to buy beer and buy drinks and buy other things, buy every other thing. You know, they come to the church and put $1 and put $2 there. These are hypocrisy. You know, these are Ananias and Sapphira. You know, and Mama has hit the nail at the head. There must be discipline in the church because that is the church administration. All right, look at another example. Jesus came into the church and he found people trading. He found people buying pigeons and exchanging money. Meanwhile, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. The church is a place of prayer. How come you people are buying and selling and exchanging pigeons? you know, money exchangers and so on. And Jesus Christ was angry, and he picked up a cane and whipped all the people. Whip all of them out of the church. Whip all of them. Christ, why will you turn my house to a place of commercial industry, a place of entertainment? What are you doing? Jesus whip all of them and send them packing out of the church. I tell you what, if Jesus has to come to this earth physically today, he will still wipe a lot of people out of the church. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Jesus will still pick a cake and wipe a lot of people out of the church because they are there for different reasons. Different reasons. You know, people have come to trade and buy and sell, commercial, entertainment. People came to look for husband, came to look for wife, they came to look for something else. You know, God said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It's supposed to be a place of prayer. How come you have turned it to a commercial center? Oh, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. Yeah, Pastor Russell, I wanted to comment on this aspect of church discipline. How do you see it? Is there discipline in the church today, Pastor Raphael Ondara, all the way from Kenya, East Africa, is joining us on this discussion. Tell us something about church discipline. Tell us something.
According to the time of this day, the judge has no discipline because it is needed by many people who are not anointed, and because of that, that is why we need to say that the two men and the two people, Ananias and Sapphira, when they talked about they tried to keep to light the Spirit of God. But I think that they did not survive. And this day, that we are praying, the church sometimes will not survive because it is leaded and controlled. Because there is it is leaded to many people and many places talking and commanding the anointed man of God, so which is not so good. Because of that, that's what I see that he say. The church is not given the authority, or the pastor is not given the authority of leading the church and leading the people so that they may know what to do exactly.
Yes. There must be orderliness in the church. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth. Mama hits that point too. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth. There must be correction. There must be reproof. You know, the word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction, that the man of God might become perfect. You know, in St. John's Gospel chapter 17, St. John's Gospel chapter 17, from verse 1 to 17, you see Jesus Christ praying for the church.
John chapter 17,
verses 1 to 17. You see, Jesus Christ was praying for the church, that they may be one, that they might be united in one accord and do things, you know. We still have to pray for the church. We still have to pray for the church, for if you sanctify them, oh Lord. You know, we still have to pray for the church, even though the church is founded upon Christ as a solid rock. I remember the Apostle Paul was writing, said, pray for all those in authority that they might be able to lead correctly. See? Because leadership is the people, like leader, like people. It's very important. There was a church somewhere, they said, the leader said something like, don't do what I do what I say. the leader of the church, he said, don't do what I'm doing, do what I'm saying. This is confusion. You mean your lifestyle is the opposite of what you are saying, so you don't want the people to do what you are doing. They eventually find that the man is a drunkard. He goes about looking for women left and right. You know, he's a drunkard. That's why he was saying, do what I say, don't do what I do. So he was sincere enough to say, do what I say, don't do what I do. But that is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, follow me, I'm following God. And then the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I'm following Jesus Christ. You see, our life is the epistle that people read. We are the epistle, we are the Bible that people are reading. Why will you tell people, say, do what I say, don't do what I do, which means what you are doing is the opposite of what you are preaching? That's not a good leader. Leader is by example, like Jesus Christ said, follow me as I'm following Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I'm following Christ, so you follow me. See? That is how we look at it. Jesus prayed for the church, so we are also going to pray for the church, but we still have some more points to touch. Before we pray for the church to be in one accord, the church should be sanctified and purified. The church should be led by people who are called to lead, not just anybody. The love of God in the church, there should be love, and that is what was taking place in the Acts of Apostles until tribalism and racism came in. Tribalism came in, racism came in, sectionalism, and the church became divided. The other day, I went to preach here in the U.S. in some churches, and the first church I preached was all black people. Then, across the road, it's another church, all white people. So I finished preaching from church A, and then I was going across the road to church B. I found out that it's the same church. It's the same Baptist, the same Assembly of God, the same church. Church A have all black people, then church B of all white people. So I said, what's going on here? How would you explain this? Did you bring color into the church? It's not supposed to be like this. We are supposed to be in one accord. God is love. God is blind to color discrimination. Dr. Billy Graham, Reverend Dr. Billy Graham, he had this to say. He says, Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in America. Yes, Reverend Dr. Billy Graham, before he went to glory, he said, Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in the United States of America. We are still segregated. We are still racial, you know, discrimination. After all that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has tried to explain 50 years after a man of God screamed, "I have a dream that someday we shall all work together and do things together." And yet, people are still divided. How do you see this, Evangelist Lawal? What do you think should be the cure for racism, tribalism, sectionalism? How can we cure this problem that is still going on in the church today?
The only thing, it's not by power, it's not by might, by the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty. That is the reason why we have church intercessors that should be interceding for the body of Christ concerning racism, black separate and whites being separated. This, there is nothing anybody can do about it. It's only God that is in control concerning that situation. The only thing is just God is love. That's the main topic. We all know that Valentine is coming now, this February 14th. The only thing you can be praying for is for love. It's for love concerning us. Love for the black, love for the white. But for concerning racism, there is nothing actually we can do about it. Even the neighborhood where my son is living, when I go to him, the church directly in front of me, they are all white. I always go there because if I don't go, when I'm in his house to go and visit him, if I don't go there, it means I won't go to church on that day. But when I will be going, the fear is always there for black to go to the white church and white to come to the black church. So black, they can easily go to the white church, but the white people, they are always too afraid to come to the black church. But whenever I'm in that environment, I make sure I go. But before I go, I'm always afraid, but I will pray. Then when I get there, I will just greet everybody lovingly. This one God is the only solution to it. All of us will just be operating on love basis. God is love. And God say we should love brethren, whether they are black or whether they are white. But the only thing is intercession, church intercession on weekly basis for all churches, whether it is black or whether it is white, to pray for white brethren and to pray for black brethren. That's all we can do. We have no solution to that.
Yes. There is something else we have noticed in the church, which we are going to include in our prayers. There was a time when we have just talked about deacons that were appointed to do more details, and then we talked about the 70 elders that were appointed by the prophet Moses to help do all the details. And then in the days of Jesus Christ, there were the 12 disciples, and then later Jesus had 70, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 to 10, and so on. And then we also said, in the days of Moses, there was Aaron as the high priest, and then there were Joshua, Caleb, and Hur as personal assistants to the prophet Moses in order to be able to lead the people. And then we also said in the days of Jesus Christ, there was Peter, John, and James, and then the 12 disciples, and then the 70 that were sent forth. When God calls a leader, he pulls people around that leader. Now, in the New Testament church of today, there was a time when we had assistant pastors, we had associate pastors, we had youth pastors, we had children pastors, all working with the general overseer. They are all working under the covering of the general overseer. And today, all those things are vanishing. They are disappearing from today's church. Instead, what we are seeing is everybody now is a bishop. Everybody now is an apostle. Everybody now is a prophet. And the other day I visited a church. They had 5 bishops in one church. I said, how can a church have 5 bishops working in the same church? See, it's like having so many commanders. And then there was another church, as you said, they have so many apostles and so many prophets inside the same church building. If we have so many commandants, leading a sheep, I don't think a sheep can have 2 captains. The 2 captains are leading a sheep. I don't know how that sheep is going to travel on the sea. Why is it that we no longer have assistant pastors, we don't have associate pastors, we don't have co-pastors, we don't have youth pastors, we don't have a children pastor, we don't have all those things again nowadays. Everybody is a bishop and everybody is apostle, everybody is a prophet. How do you see that, Pastor Raphael Udara? I want you to speak on this. How do you see this type of leadership, this type of administration where everybody in the church is now a bishop, everybody is now apostle, everybody is, where are we going with this type of setting? Tell us something about this.
Actually, I can say that we have many pastors in the church or church members, and they call themselves that they are leaders, they work with the pastors. The part of the church is that because this is the days that we are now heading through, the days are becoming so much corrupted. So because of that, the world is corrupted. All churches have become corrupted because the world is becoming corrupt. It means that people are corrupted, not the world. We say the word, but it is the people, because they are the people who are so much corrupted and they are confused by the evil spirits, because they show that it is better to be the judge. But as far as I can say, that the judge, as I said there before, is created by the anointed pastor.
Yeah.
And called by the Lord Jesus Christ, that you come. But they say that everybody he called himself as a pastor, or the word is that is corruption. It is because of there are no corrupted people who are in the church. That's why sometimes if they have money, they thought that it is my money. I'm able to lead the church, which is not so good. But as I would say that, according to the Bible, it says that we have one anointed person or a man who is called and who is anointed to lead the church, because the Holy Spirit is leading them so that they may lead and they know what is going on. As I would say that, as here in Kenya and East Africa, we have churches, but the most churches, we have one man who's anointed, who's called a pastor, and who's being respected. Some of our churches who's respected to be a leader. And because of that, we have a pastor, we have an overseer who's overseeing many churches, more than 3 or 5 churches. But at the web of coordinator, who is leading and doing that now, that's here in Kenya. As I am talking, is that we have one coordinator or one overseer overseeing the churches in Kenya. But I want to assure you, the servant of God, is that we must have one anointed person who leads the church, and that church will be filled, or we will be filled by the Holy Spirit, so that the church may move and may grow spiritually, so that our God may lead that church. But when we see that this church is being leaded by many, I think that this is not good, and that it's not the way God commanded the church to be done.
Yes. So we're going to pray now. John chapter 17. You see, Jesus was praying for the church. So I wondered why Jesus was praying for the church. If you look at John chapter 17, Jesus took time to pray for the church. In fact, from verses 1 to almost the end of John chapter 17, Jesus took time to pray for the church. And that was even the early church. That was even the New Testament church. And if you look at what Jesus was praying, he said that they all may be one. And then he says, sanctify them, O Lord. Then he said, that which you have given to me, I have given to you. Let not the evil one pluck them out of your hand, and so on and so forth. So I began to wonder why Jesus Christ had to pray for the church. And then I could see the reason why Jesus had to pray for the church. The gates of hell have always tried to work against the church. You can tell from the way things are happening. There are some nations like China, for instance, they don't even want any church no more. They even pulled down some church buildings and they didn't want no church. There was a time in Russia, you couldn't carry your Bible in Russia. You couldn't make a church, Pentecostal church, no. You can't preach gospel in Russia. And there was a time some part of Saudi Arabia and the Arab nations, strong Muslim nations, you couldn't preach gospel in some of those places. I remember North Africa, for instance. North Africa was another top area. Because all those nations used to be Christian nations until they were Islamized. And North Africa became a hard ground. But though there are a lot of Christians out there still doing some underground evangelism, there are some churches here and there in North African states. They are working over there too. The gates of hell have always tried to prevail against the church. You find that in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 from verse 17, Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. Then he said, the gates of hell shall never be able to prevail. Which means the gates of hell will try to prevail. The gates of hell, look at Nigeria for instance. There have been so much persecution of the church, especially in the northern states. In the northern states of Nigeria, there was a time they don't even want to see any churches. They would bulldoze a lot of churches in northern states of Nigeria. They pulled down a lot of churches. They said they don't want churches in northern Nigeria. But still, there are still churches there. You know, they are still preaching over there. You can't stop the church. You can't stop the gospel. We are unstoppable. You can't stop us. You know, so I began to see why Jesus Christ took time to pray for the church. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for the church, and then the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. And all the splitting and all the divisions and a lot of things that have happened, you can tell that Jesus did not do wrong in praying for the early church. And that prayer applies to the church of today, that they all might be one. It's very important. That they all might be one. The other day on television, one church just preached against the other church. And then another church came on the air and preached against the other church. And then another church came on the air and preached against the other church. And then another church came on the air and preached against the other church. And so on and so on and so on. I said, you see, this is what Jesus Christ was talking about when he said that they all might be one. When unbelievers see all these things, you know, they get worried. We are telling them to come and join you. And look at what you are doing. You know, you are condemning each other. You know, you are preaching against each other. See, these things wouldn't help us. I remember in Acts of Apostles, chapter 11, where the early Christians, they went to Antioch to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The early Christians, they came to Antioch to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the people of Antioch, they saw them. And the people of Antioch could tell that these people have been with Jesus Christ. These people are followers of Jesus Christ. And the people of Antioch, they call them Christians. These are Christians. They are followers of Christ. They are Christ-like. They behave like Christ. They behave like Jesus Christ. These people are Christians. That is how the word Christian appeared in the Bible for the very first time. The word Christian appeared in the Bible because of what happened in Antioch. The early believers came to Antioch to preach the gospel, and the people of Antioch, when they saw these people, they said, yes, these are the true Christians. They behave like Jesus Christ. They talk like Jesus Christ. They act like Jesus Christ. They are not fighting. They are not quarreling. They are not preaching against each other. The oneness and the one accord and the spirit of love. It says these are the Christians. They are Christ-like. They behave like Christ. That was how the word Christian appeared in the Bible for the very first time. So a Christian is one who is Christ-like. A Christian, a believer, a true Christian is one who is like Jesus Christ. You know, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus, behave like Jesus, love like Jesus, help people like Jesus. That is a true Christian. If we can be like that, the whole world will be saved. Oh, yes, I tell you what. If today's Christianity is like that, like the Antioch believers, the whole world will be saved in one day. But look at what is happening. It is all confusion. Every year is confusion. See, it shouldn't be so. Jesus said that they all may be one. John chapter 17, Jesus took time to pray for the church. He knew what he was doing, and he knew what he was talking about. So we are going to pray right now. We're going to follow the steps of Jesus Christ, and we're going to pray like Jesus prayed for the early church, which is the same prayer that applies today to us. We're going to pray for the church. First of all, we want to sing one or two songs, and then we shall pray that prayer. The song, one of the songs says, "The church is marching on." In church is marching on.
The gates of heaven shall not prevail. The church is marching on.
The church is marching on.
The church is marching on. The gates of heaven shall not prevail. The church is marching on.
We are marching forward. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. In the name of
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are marching forward.
Hallelujah.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So let's begin to pray now in the name of Jesus. Yes, let's begin to pray for the church of today to do the will of God, to walk in the Spirit. Oh, yeah, ba, 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 ba.
Yes, Lord,
help us to walk with you.
God, Lord.
That they all will be good. We are tired of the beaten and poor and hatred.
Walk in one accord, the church of today, walk in one accord, walk in one accord, the Lord.
Righteousness and justification for sin is a reproach to any people. The blood of Jesus cancels the agenda of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ,
Father, forgive the sins of the church. O Lord God, that is causing disunity and powerlessness in the church of God, O Lord God. Empower the church of God to be united, O Lord God. Forgive the sins of the church of God, O Lord God, the world. Father, we take authority over the powers of darkness and all misunification concerning the church of God in Jesus' name. We bind and cast out every spirit causing seduction and false doctrine in the church of God. No hypocrisy, no pride, no hero in the church of God in the name of Jesus. We deal from every plan and strategy of Satan against the body of Christ. Is bound in the name of Jesus. Just in every spirit of prayerlessness and discouragement and vain glory in the church of Christ be bound in the name of Jesus.
In
the spirit of brokenness be released upon the church members in the name of Jesus. Just command the work of the flesh. Father, let the power of the cross and that of the Holy Spirit be released in the church of God in the name of Jesus. Let the life of our Lord Jesus Christ be fully established in the body of Christ in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, remove the spirit of selfishness over ambition and unreachableness be broken in the church of God in Jesus' name. Grant to the body of Christ, the mind of Christ, forgiving spirit, tolerance, genuine repentance in Jesus' name. Standing and submission, and brokenness and watchfulness in the church of God.
Blood of Jesus.
The mind of commend others better than one step in the church of God in Jesus' name.
Your
let them pull down the forces of disobedience in the life of brethren in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Joy, goodness, divine healing, faith, discerning of spirit in the church of God. Peace, faith, and divine health, the gift of healing, long suffering, and hopefulness in the church of God.
Yes,
goodness, temperance, and progress. In the church of God, in Jesus' name. Beauty and glory of God in the church of God, in the name of Jesus. Let people create a thirst for God, for hunger of God, and goodness of God in the name of John. Mighty God, revive your church, O Lord God of heaven, in the name of John.
So
they fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit and fire in the church of God. Full and fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the life of pastors and ministers and brethren in the name of God. Lord, give us the ministers the power of perpetual prayer life in the name of God.
Revive your church, O God.
Lord,
revive your
people
church,
committed, dedicated,
revive
and obedient laborers into divine yard of God in Jesus' name. Mighty God, we break down the authority and dominion of Satan over the soul of men in the church of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, every spirit holding the soul of men to captivity, we shatter the name of God. Let the covenant between the soul of man and Satan dash into pieces in the name of God. The covenant of God Almighty to be established in the just church of God in Jesus' name. Feelings of steadfastness in the church of God in Jesus' name. Consistency in the church of God in the name of God. Let church member hunger and thirst for the word of God in the name of God. Lord, come in the name of God. Lord, release fresh fire to disgrace the victorious spirit of all our missionaries and evangelists in the church of God in Jesus' name. Release the grip of the world upon the soul of men in the church of God in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Salvation in the church of God, O Lord God of heaven, in the name of God, remove hindrances and opposition, O Lord God, from the church of God, in the name of God, O Lord God of heaven. No quarreling, no immorality, no unfaithfulness, no disagreement, no misunderstanding, no intolerance in the church of God and Christian homes in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, for your light to prevail the over darkness in the church of God and Christian homes in the name of Jesus. O Lord God, in the name of Joy, raise your Esther, Ruth, and Deborah in the church of God. O Lord God, no power must destroy the joy of the church of God and the joy of Christian brethren in the name of Jesus. Grant the church special wisdom, O Lord God of heaven, in Jesus' name.
Amen. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we thank you for being with us in today's broadcast, Lord. Let your word find a place in the heart of everyone who have heard your word today. Make them doers of your word and not just hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Bless everyone today who have listened to your word. God, be with us throughout today, Lord Jesus, and forevermore. Strengthen and uphold us. Pray for your church worldwide. Sanctify your church, O God. Purify your church, O God. Consecrate your church, O God. Let righteousness reign. Let holiness rule in our churches. And help us to be one accord. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, we thank you for blessing us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are praying. Amen. Yes, I want to thank everybody for participating, those on Facebook, on Twitter, on Link, YouTube, and in the various media, those who join us by phone. I want to thank every one of you for being a part of this broadcast, and I want to thank especially our guest speaker, Evangelist Lawal, and our brother, Pastor Ondara, joining us from Kenya, East Africa. God bless you all, and may he reward you abundantly for giving our time out of your busy schedule to be with us. The Lord continue to bless you all and your family. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are praying. Tomorrow, we're going to have it again, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., but it's not the same topic. We're going to allow people to speak as the Holy Spirit give them work to chair. We're not going to come with this topic tomorrow, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're going to be open to the Holy Spirit to share what God has for everybody. We don't have a topic for tomorrow. We just want the Holy Spirit to speak and bless people tomorrow, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we can all join again and come again. Join us tomorrow, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Forward this message to as many people you know all over the world. Email it to them. Tweet it out. Test it. Share it. And let it go viral. Let them know the truth, that the truth has set them free. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by him. God bless you, Felicia. I will love you, and we say, God bless you abundantly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
This message tomorrow?
Yes. No, tomorrow we are not going to discuss this topic tomorrow. We're going to, every one of you will speak the message God has laid in your heart. 30 minutes each of you, we will speak the messages God gave you to share. Give it a topic and then share whatever God laid in your heart. We're not going to follow this topic tomorrow. We have finished with this topic today. Yes. So,
okay.
I'm asking that will you send tomorrow come up with a message that somebody and you tell me at tomorrow?
Yeah, you can dial in the same way you dial in, and then your church people who want to dial in, tell them they can also dial in just the same way you dial in today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, God bless you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you,
God
sir.
Bless you, Mama. Thank you so much, Mom.
Thank you, sir. My love to Mommy, sir.
All right, sir.
Bye, sir.
Bye, sir. Bye,
sir.
Bye, bye. God bless. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.